The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Welcome on into the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Jordan Spurgeon. Happy Thursday. There's a lot to get to today. It's an exciting time around the Valley. We just had a huge high school showcase over at the Mesa Public Schools, and it was a great success. You can find it on our website to watch the full thing. There were so many knowledge drops just from different coaches that Eliab Gabay was chasing on the sideline like a madman, and that sat down with me and Claudia and Jordan Hamm and Cody Cameron, brought some people up to the booth, and it was a really great 3 hours, and something that I think is going to provide a lot of knowledge to you parents and athletes out there looking to, you know, learn more about the next level. Because, you know, I said it over and over on that broadcast yesterday, you know, the guys that are going Power Four, you're kind of learning the deal pretty quickly. You learn early on you're going to do that. For the guys heading into their junior, senior years with nothing going on, it's time to start learning other fits and other places and the best ways to kind of showcase yourself to other schools at different levels. Because if you want to play, there's a spot for you. So just wanted to plug that. It was a great showcase yesterday. Thanks to Mesa School District and Banfield Productions for putting that on for us. It was a great time and was super excited to do that. So there's a lot more going on in the Valley sports scene. Coming up after our break here in a few minutes, Jody Jackson's going to join Diamond Notes. So talking all things D-backs. They're sitting at 19 and 18, fourth place in the NL West. So there's a lot of questions, rightly so, from the fan base and from the reporters around town. So I want to dig in a little bit on that with Jody Jackson. I've been out there the last couple days, and there's definitely a lot to talk about around the Diamondbacks. I would say the big news of the week, quote unquote, if you care about it, the Phoenix Suns, their new GM, bringing him in definitely is something that is not quite sitting well with Suns fans. Brian Gregory taking over the reins as GM for James Jones. He's a guy that was at Michigan State as an assistant coach around the same time that Ishbia was at Michigan State playing. So he has a long relationship with him. And so getting a front office role based on who you know, it's part of the game. It's always been a thing. But when you've had disastrous seasons and you think maybe outside hires could be better, it definitely rubs people the wrong way, especially when his press conference on Tuesday was, I think the buzzword was alignment. I'm on alignment with Matt Ishbia, and that was pretty much used a solid 12 plus times. And it was a lot of buzzwords. And, you know, hey, it's not all about winning the press conferences. We want to see a team be built, and we want to see the wins stack up throughout the season. So, you know, I'm not going to judge him just yet, but for those freaking out about the hire, I understand it, because things need to change with the Phoenix Suns, because after the success they had and everything that's gone wrong since the 2022 64 win season, Suns fans have every right to be upset. This is a team that has now become a laughingstock in the league, and I think many of us thought those days were gone after that finals run, because stars wanted to be here. Everybody was bought in, the Valley was rallied, and quickly, in a little over 2 years of Ishbia on the court, things haven't gone so well. But those trying to sit there and put all the blame on Ishbia, I think that's a little bit much, because what he's done within the organization for the fan experience, all of that stuff has been really, really great for this franchise. It's a big improvement over what Robert Sarver was doing with everything else that was going on behind the scenes there. But he definitely is going to have some learning lessons, and that will be something that will continue to develop. By the way, as always, we are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, we appreciate their support. Thank you again, Desert Financial Credit Union. You know, outside of the Suns and the D-backs, there's really not a whole lot else going on around town. You know, the high school scene, we're big on that. There's a lot of spring practices, spring showcases going on. So I've been out at a lot. Claudia Collins, Cody Cameron, Eliab Gabay, Eric Sorensen still doing his zone read. You'll see one tonight up on the website as well. So there's a lot going on in the high school space. College-wise, it's kind of a dead period. There's not much going on with ASU and Arizona. Neither team really doing great in college baseball or college softball right now. So there's really not a lot going on in the college space as far as you know, the bigger sports going on right now. But there's plenty to get to with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So after the break, we're going to go ahead and be joined by Jody Jackson for Diamond Notes. So stay tuned for that. Welcome back into the Brad Sesmat Show. Jody Jackson joining us now. It's time for Diamond Notes presented by Shamrock Farms, Rock and Protein. And Jody, it's a big weekend coming up for the D-backs if we get right into it. Can you believe we're sitting here in May? This is the first divisional series for the D-backs as they welcome the Dodgers for a four-game set. That's crazy, right?
It is pretty crazy. I remember years where we would go there in the first 10 days, or we would go to Colorado, or they would come here, actually. No one really wants to go to Colorado in early April because it could be snowing. But, you know, San Diego, it's always been like that. And this year, it has been so strange, Jordan. I mean, we've seen teams like the Rays and the Yankees, you know, had to go to the East Coast three times, which is really excessive if you think about it. It's not easy. These teams are used, players and coaches are used to it, but you know, it was Yankees, Nationals, it was then Miami, Chicago, and then most recently Mets, Phillies, and really, really tough teams, you know, with the exception of the Marlins, I guess. But it makes it really exciting. This four games has been very anticipated, and you know, the Dodgers come in. And we know all about them, right? We know it's going to be Ohtani and those hitters at the top. And we know that Yamamoto leads off the series, and he's the toughest of them all right now for the Dodgers.
Before getting into the Dodgers, too, I wanted to make note of that because obviously right now sitting 19-18, fourth place in the division, it's definitely been, I would say, a frustrating start on the fan side of things and people around the team. But I think that is, I don't want to say an excuse, but I think it's valid that they went to the East Coast three times early in the year. We're usually, you're going to stick around on the West Coast more. You're going to go to San Diego on the road, or maybe Colorado, or maybe Chicago is typically the, you know, the furthest east you're going on a regular basis. But to go to New York and Florida early on while you're trying to, especially pitching wise, kind of get in shape, I think that's really tough on these players. And I know injuries have stacked up and usage has been, you know, a topic of conversation, but I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you can point to a couple games where, you know, if you had AJ Puck and Justin Martinez healthy, you know, maybe you win those games. And then you have the offense, which has been so good at times. But, you know, between that outburst at Wrigley, where the Diamondbacks lost that game but put up a 10-run inning, and then between that and a big inning on the recent road trip, there was like a stretch where they were only scoring like two runs a game. So they're still one of the best offenses statistically in the league, but they're not in the top two anymore. I think they're still in the top five. But you know, that's the one thing that you wonder if the travel is wearing on the hitters and wearing on their focus and their ability to put up those good at bats. But now they're at home, so no excuses, like you said. And then the next road trip is the Giants for three. So it is getting easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's also where the schedule is. Now you start a division series and you're playing division games basically the rest of the month, at least through the next couple of weeks. It's mostly division games, so it'll be important. But tonight, you mentioned it, Yamamoto, Brandon Pfaadt, that's the pitching matchup. What are you expecting out there at Chase Field tonight?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, Yamamoto has given up one earned run in his last 32 innings.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. He's given up a couple of unearned runs and had a no-hitter going through five against Atlanta last time out. So this guy is so tough. The fastball's really good. The split is really good. We all know, you know, the history of Japanese pitchers and that, those great split-finger fastballs. His right now is the best in the league. And then he's got other pitches too. You know, he's got a curveball, he's got a cutter, he can throw all kinds of things. So the Diamondbacks have been good at wearing pitchers down. They did not do a great job of it with Senga 2.0, I guess, the first time they ran him out of the game, high pitch count. This last time really failed to, you know, after he gave up walks, you know, they did the smart thing, getting five walks in the first 10 batters, but then couldn't get that big hit to score some runs. So it's about continuing to have those good at-bats. And then for Pfaadt, you know, he's the National League leader in wins still at five. And so he is doing a lot of things right, Brandon Pfaadt. We've seen a version of him this year that is more stingy. These guys have been susceptible to long ball, though, and that really includes all the pitchers right now. And so that's something that, you know, if you can keep these guys in the park, but this is, again, that top of the line, toughest team to do that with. I think the Ohtani Fought matchup is going to be a big one tonight. It's hard to any ballpark that Shohei Ohtani goes into, he is the main attraction. And oh, by the way, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, on and on. Teoscar Hernandez is on the IL. That is going to hurt them. He's a guy that drives in a lot of runs. They're very top heavy in the order. Lower in the order, not as good, obviously. That's something we've talked about with the Dodgers for a few years. But part of that is how do you continue after those top guys? So I think there's going to be a lot of energy in the building, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I think there'll be a lot, throughout the weekend, not only because the Dodgers are in towns, but then tomorrow and Saturday, the new City Connects being unveiled on the field for the first time. And I know they've got all kinds of shows planned with purple and teal around like that. What do you think of the new uniforms?
I like them. I know some people that were kind of hoping they'd be more like a change to the traditional uniform, but that's not really to me the point of the City Connect. The City Connect, you want to be a little flashy, you want to have a little more vibrant color, like the purple's a little different, right? And the teal. I love them. I'm excited to see them out there. I think they're going to look really good in those, especially with the white pants. It's not like the monochromatic that we've seen with some of them. Do you have one yet, Jordan? Have you gotten one,
I
or have
haven't
you?
yet. I walked over to the team shop when they opened and did some stuff out there. I was tempted to walk out with one, but I just couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to buy. I mean, I'm going there tonight, you never know, but they also have some cool like shirts and stuff. I mean, different, like I saw an Arizona Born one, which I wasn't born in Arizona, but my kids were. So, I mean, there's some cool stuff, Serpientis with the hoodies, the shirts, the whole thing. I'm quite sure that I'll end up with some of it at some point, but yeah. So, it's going to be pretty cool to see them out there. And there's also a concert, Mexican Heritage, tomorrow night, as far as the celebration that continues through the weekend. Yeah, it's going to be very festive. And, anytime you can drop new unis, I think it does open the door to maybe some more purple and teal mixing and mingling later on. I don't know. That's what the fans seem to, they want more and more purple and teal, even though they have it now. So, hey, that's a good thing when the fans want something from the team and they're engaged, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even Monday when I was there, I saw a good amount of fans already wearing the new uniforms. I definitely feel like I saw more of the 2001 uniforms make an appearance at the ballpark, for fans that maybe aren't ready to pull the trigger on the new stuff. They bring back the old stuff because they feel like it's time to rock the purple again, and that's something, even the players like Zach Gallen, we know for years he's been like begging for the purple, and he's super excited to walk it this weekend. So I think it's cool. A couple more things on the D-backs for this weekend. So Corbin Burnes missed his last start, expected to start on the 10th. We've all had a chance to kind of chat with him, but what have you heard or learned about just kind of what that's been like for him? Having to skip a start but stay on his routine to kind of let his shoulder rest a little bit and get back on track. So we know he's very routine oriented.
And I think it hurt him to have to go miss the start because he takes a lot of pride in going out there every 5 days. But seems like a smart move. They convinced him to go ahead and take a breather here, and I think he's on track. Everything shows everything, from the throwing and everything that has happened since that shot, it seems like he's on track for Saturday. So, I think everyone's going to be holding their breath a little bit just to see how he does in that matchup, because he had been throwing pretty well. Give him credit for gutting it out, but I think it was smart to let the medical team know, what he was dealing with. So, it's a great plan. I think that's the thing though, Jordan, you never know what it's going to look like. So, hopefully we see him. Yeah, it's a tough matchup, right? Like if he doesn't, let's just go ahead and say it, for advance warning. I mean, if he doesn't have a sparkling outing, oh, by the way, it could be that they are the LA Dodgers. They're pretty good at hitting baseball. So, hopefully he limits them. Hopefully he's the best, he's, close to a really good or best version of himself, and he's getting these guys out and he's mowing them down. And that's certainly a possibility, but it's a tough matchup. So as long as, to me, he's got his location and his velocity, that's all you can hope for. And that's the kind of pitcher he's been, right? Like he's come away with, he's the kind of guy that after the full season, the numbers look pretty good. But he's a guy that, the Diamondbacks have squared him up at times, and I think is because he locates. He wants to throw strikes. And I think if that's there, if he's controlling the location and the velocity, I'll be happy with that.
This weekend, what are you looking for with the Diamondbacks? Obviously, they're looking to win the series and kind of gain some momentum within the division. There's already talks about, tiebreakers with the Mets and the Cubs, and maybe it's just trauma from last year, and so obviously losing out on those tiebreakers early in the year. What are you looking for in this series, though?
Yeah, and I mean Mets 3-3, not ideal when you, especially when you had a good chance in a couple of those. But I'm looking for, the one thing that stands out to me is just seeing Cattell maybe get back on track. The at bats haven't been awesome, but he also missed some time. He missed a pretty good chunk of time. And hitting homers in the ACL in the league over there in at Salt River is not the same as facing, Kodai Senga or late in the game. Yesterday it was a late game, pinch hit appearance, and you're hoping for lightning in a bottle there. I mean, I don't fault Torey Lovell. That's what Ketel Marte is all about. How many times have we seen him come up with a homer in the eighth or ninth inning, whether he's starting a game or pinch hitting or whatever? So I'm quite sure he's thriving on this. There's a little extra juice for this four gamer against the Dodgers, and so I'm looking for just good at bats from these guys and making smart plays. I think yesterday after seeing Senga kind of spray it around, and then you get two walks, and then you go out. We saw it in the third inning. Perdomo, Pavin Smith, early count swings. If guys are not throwing strikes, just let that play out a little bit more. And that's, hopefully it will equal some more runs.
Brad Perdomo, have you gotten a chance to call him the Frogman
I
yet?
did. The joke was Jeff Banister said to me in that was in New York, I guess, when and he said, it's funny Perdomo picked a frog, like we're snakes. We are cold-blooded. And that's who we are. So it was just kind of funny. They were calling him Kermit and everything. So he's such a goofball. He's so great. He's fun to talk to. He's off the cuff, very honest. You really never know what he's going to say, which as a journalist, Jordan, we love that, right? We want to hear something right, emotional and from the heart. And that's what Jerry will give you.
Well, awesome. Great stuff, Jody. Appreciate the time. That was Diamond Notes presented by Shamrock Farms Rock and Protein. And have fun this weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Same to you, Jordan. Have fun out there.